The most popular past generation tier in competitive Pokemon is Generation 3 OU, otherwise known as Advanced OU or simply Advanced, named for being the advanced generation. Both in games were played on Game Boy Advance, and the system and mechanics of the games were more intricate than the first two generations. Today we've got Gen 3 OU spokesman Jimothy Cool with us, and we're going to be exploring what makes Advanced so appealing, as well as the general overview of the generation's unique mechanics to find out why a two-decade-old generation is still seeing lots of play today. Generations of Pokemon don't stop being played just because they stop being current as soon as the next gen comes out. They still constantly feature in tournaments, and they are played by their many, many enthusiasts for fun. The secrets of a generation are not fully plundered in the three or so years that they exist as current gen. Metagames continue to develop so long as they're played, and even the original OU, Gen 1, continues to see new developments, despite claims to have been solved long ago.
Similar claims have been made about Advance as well, and time again, it proves them wrong. Why is it so popular? Well, it combines the fundamental appeal of past generations, a foundation of a stable, defined metagame with great capacity for innovation, new strategies constantly popping up and establishing themselves as legitimate parts of the tier, without completely upending what the game is at its core. And that foundation of Advance is what has made it so popular ever since it was the current generation. It is famously enjoyable for its competitive nature, considered by many even today as perhaps the absolute ideal example of a metagame. So well balanced, it's nearly perfect, providing an incredibly interesting and enjoyable experience. What makes Advance so balanced? Well, think about the feature that generally makes the game unbalanced. Overwhelming offense. Whether it's Gen 5 Genesect or Gen 9 Palafin, most metagames going through tumultuous periods generally find that lack of balance stemming from an offensive threat that is unreasonably difficult to contain. With the comparative lower power level of the offensive options in Gen 3, that is not an issue. However, it strikes a perfect balance of not going as slow as the previous two generations, which many find not to their taste. There is plenty of offense in Advance. Excellent offense. However, most of it is not that outright powerful. Even Dragon Dance and Choice Band Tyranitar are running Rock Slide as their stab, since there's no Stone Edge. So you really have to play well to make the most out of it. And while there are some options that are monstrously strong by any generation standards, those Pokemon also have significant drawbacks. For instance, Medicham hits really hard, but is absurdly frail and not that fast. So again, you cannot just spam the strong moves for easy, unchallenged success against a good opponent. The lack of huge, safe options is huge here. There is no Draco Meteor, Close Combat, U-turn, Stealth Rock, among others. Even simple stab moves are quite scarce, because there is no physical special split implemented yet. If you want to use Gyarados, your stab option is going to be Hidden Power Flying, not Waterfall. To get the most out of any team in Advance, not just offense, skill is required. You cannot autopilot to a win, at least not reliably.
So before we get into the details of what makes this generation so beloved, we will provide an example to give you the overall picture of how Advance combines metagame stability with the capacity for innovation and an emphasis on in-battle skill. One of the strongest, most popular offensive options around is Focus Punch, which in and of itself makes Advance unique as the move becomes much rarer as Gen 4 introduced Close Combat and gave superpower to more Pokemon, as well as increasing the power level as a whole, making it easier to approach such levels of strength without the associated risks. In Gen 3, Focus Punch is the strongest move Tyranitar can run, full stop. Double Edge already outdamages Stab Rock Slide, so Focus Punch easily leaves it in the dust. But in Gen 4, T-Tar is hitting with Focus Punch level power every time it uses its Stab Stone Edge. Focus Punch in Gen 4 and onwards pretty much became exclusive to Poison Hill Breloom, with occasional use on Mega Mawile. In Advance though, the move is incredibly common, and it's not unusual to see multiple users on one team. Focus Punch's unique dynamic is a perfect representation of the skill-intensive, high-risk, high-reward nature of Advance offense. It is not a move you can spam freely, as getting hit even for 1 HP of damage will disrupt the move. But if you can pull it off, you are rewarded with Hyper Beam levels of damage. It also holds a crucial place in the tier because of its super effective coverage against two of the meta's most important gatekeeping Pokemon, Tyranitar and Blissey, as well as powerful neutral coverage against other tier staples like Skarmory, Swampert, Suicune, Metagross, and Jirachi.
Furthermore, Focus Punch is often taken to its skill-demanding endpoint, which is using it without substitute. Sub is the de facto strategic partner for Focus Punch, because it guarantees you get the punch up once you've gotten the sub up. However, it's not without its issues. Losing 25% of your health is no joke, and it takes up a crucial slot in your moveset that would otherwise go to useful expanded coverage. Plus, to successfully get up a sub, you have to predict an opponent's switch anyway, or use it in other scenarios where straight up focus punching would also work, like against a sleeping Pokemon. Even if you do get the sub and the punch, you generally only get that one punch, man. Because in most scenarios, you won't be able to safely get another sub against whatever broke the first one to begin with.
Thus, you extend the same prediction required, usually only getting one logic to Focus Punch. And though it's riskier, you receive major benefits. One, not needing to lose your HP often unnecessarily. When Sub Punch T-Tar was particularly common, it would regularly go for Focus Punch against Blissey first, because it knew Blissey wasn't going to stay in, as it would fail to break its 101's HP subs with Seismic Toss, and make it even harder to deal with. So it would save some HP by immediately going for the punch. Two, while the status blocking sub is a great move, sometimes you want more coverage, and not needing to run sub to run Focus Punch helps massively with this. As Tyranitar also discovered when its sub punch sets dropped sub and started running the Jirachi and Metagross smacking Earthquake instead.
Tyranitar is probably Advance's most defining Focus Puncher, though others, namely the ferocious Heracross, Breloom, and Medichamp, also used the move to great effect. But the one we want to highlight is a Pokemon that serves as a shining example of how Advance can evolve and change, even after so much time, rewarding players who innovate and push the metagame forward. And of course, it's everyone's favorite Pokemon, Charizard. Zard was not always part of the OU metagame. It was known for having some of the most explosive damage potential in the format, with Sunny Day, Pitaya Berry, and the Blaze Boost, combining for a truly obscene power. Some players even used Blast Burn as a sort of pseudo-explosion to take out Blissey once fully boosted. But this was not at all a consistent Pokemon. Sunny Zard was an interesting choice, but an offbeat one, hence its BL placement. And even if you thought of using it more seriously, you'd have to make a case for it against its fellow fire-flying type that beat it to the punch in gaining traction, Moltres, who was much stronger initially, packed better bulk, and one of the best moves in the game, Will-O-Wisp.
However, Charizard began demonstrating its own advantages, most notably much higher speed, while also enjoying stronger Fire Stab with Blaze activated, extra coverage in Dragon Claw, and yes, Focus Punch. Suddenly, Tyranitar and Blissey normally find answers to Fire Blast, but have to be incredibly careful about switching in, lest they get absolutely crushed by the move. At first, Charizard ran Substitute to scout the many switches it forced, as well as guard against its own frailty, and potentially drop itself into Blaze range, but this could sometimes conflict with another unique aspect of Zard's game that was perfectly emblematic of the unique dynamics of Advance offense. In this gen, every offensive Pokemon were much more preferable for having some sort of defensive utility, no matter how sparing. This is why Heracross was so difficult to fit on a team, and why Breloom was deceptively helpful with its Rock Slide resistance and Mach Punch, helping it take on Dragon Dance Tyranitar. Charizard's defensive stats were mediocre. Its most impressive instance of bulk was surviving Gengar Thunderbolt from high health so it could retaliate with a Blaze boosted Fire Blast, but it packed the rare combination of resistance to Metagross's Meteor Mash alongside an immunity to its Earthquake. Not only did this let Zard actually switch into Metagross once or twice per game to unleash its attacks, it actually liked taking the damage because it got closer or knocked into Blaze range.
This did mean, though, that Substitute could often be a wasted slot. You wouldn't want to sub and lose your ability to take Gengar's Thunderbolt, or your ability to take that second Metagross Meteor Mash. Thus, even Charizard began running unprotected Focus Punch to nail Tyranitar and Blissey on switch-in. And in that fourth move slot, it found it can make itself even more of a threat. Dragon Claw, with its anti-Salamence and Flygon coverage, was most appealing, and Overheat's extra power appealed to some as well. Eventually, it even began running Beat Up, which destroyed Blissey, even in a one-on-one. And with how easily Charizard was finding its way into battle and leaving destruction in its wake, it was finding itself onto more and more high-level successful tournament teams. So very nearly two decades after Gen 3's release, Charizard was no longer an underrated threat that experienced players in the know were privy. It established itself as a genuine OU Pokemon.
Now we'll move on to a quick overview of mechanics and how they work in the context of the general metagame. The most obvious is that Sandstream summons permanent Sandstorm. The effect of this is so huge that it single-handedly makes Tyranitar the best Pokemon in the tier and shapes the viability of everything else. whenever there's no sand in play. For instance, Suicune becomes the most monstrous threat around, yet in sand it is perfectly palatable. And whenever a Pokemon is weak to both spikes and sand, it is a major issue. Spikes and sand are amazing partners, and the most defining team styles in the game center around Skarmory's incredible walling ability, letting it enable its teammates through multiple layers of spikes. There's no Defog, only Rapid Spin, and Skarmory can outlast just about anything. Sure, it's got its own counter Pokemon in Magneton, but dedicating an entire team slot to Magneton doesn't mean you have the edge on Skarmory teams. In fact, many successful Magneton teams run Skarmory themselves, as one of the best benefits of removing opposing Skarmory is the advantage that you get with your own Skarmory. Passive damage is generally popular with Toxic on many Pokemon, as well as Celebi's best sets running Leech Seed and Gengar's Will-O-Wisp being one of the most dominant forces in the tier. It's so strong, many teams resort to Pursuit Tyranitar in order to prevent it from slowly whittling down everything. Remember, Burn in this generation does 12.5% damage per turn, which racks up incredibly quickly, especially against the many Pokemon affected by the permanent sand.
Speaking of trapping, Gen 3 is the only generation with Arena Trap unbanned, and Dugtrio is a major force in the metagame, keeping a huge portion of otherwise dangerous threats in check. Its power isn't so insane that it's automatically dropping everything it faces, and it can be taken advantage of. For instance, it's common to lure opposing Dug with your Celebi, forcing it to lock into Hidden Power Bug, so you can safely remove the opposing Dugtrio with your own Dugtrio. However, as a whole, Dugtrio picks off threats ranging from Tyranitar to Metagross to Jirachi to Blissey and so much more, and its immense frailty is mitigated either through aggressive double switches, occasionally pivoting into a Tar or Rachi set that can't quite KO it. It survives even banded Tyranitar's Rock Slide from full health, as well as unboosted Hidden Power Grasses. Or with its favorite teammate Baton Pass Zapdos, which uses the move functionally as a U-turn.
We'll quickly touch upon the physical special split in conjunction with low base power moves once again to mention how it affects move pool. Because we know that Hidden Power Bug Dugtrio probably sounds incredibly strange, even if you've been following along. But yes, the physical special split is based on the type chart. Think of it like this: the evolutions, including Glaceon and Leafeon, are all special, as is Dragon. Everything else is physical. This extends to Hidden Power as well. Thus, the physical HP bug, a popular choice given Celebi's prominence, as well as Claydol's, was commonly seen on Tyranitar, Dugtrio, Aerodactyl, and Flygon. Meanwhile, HP Grass was also popular on the Calm Mind Sweeper Jirachi, which also used Fire Punch, despite its status as a contact move. It was fire, making it special in this gen. Hidden Power as Stab was also not uncommon, from Flying on Salamence, Aerodactyl, and Gyarados, to Grass on Celebi.
One of the exceptions to low base power was Explosion, which was the epitome of high risk, high reward. Not only did you have to sacrifice your Pokemon for such a huge hit, you risked doing absolutely nothing if you thudded into Protect, which was incredibly common as a source of recovery alongside Leftovers, most famously on Swampert, or if you boomed into the similarly common Gengar. However, its enormous 250 base power alongside a defense halving effect that effectively doubled that strength made it a superb wall-breaking tool and a major fact in what made Metagross and Snorlax so powerful. To be exact, Snorlax technically used Self-Destruct, not Explosion, and Self-Destruct has a lower power, but Stab Boost actually made it even stronger than Explosion. This was such a good move, it turned the rather unthreatening Claydol into one of the best Pokemon around. As for power, Choice Band Metagross Explosion one-hit KO'd even standard Skarmory sets.
Not all booms had to be wall crushers either. If fast, they could actually play into another mechanic unique to the first three generations. The fact that the turn is over the moment a Pokemon has declared fainted. What this means is that if a faster Pokemon KOs itself with Explosion against a slower target that is not KO'd by it, the slower target will not be able to move. In practice, this is used as a tactic to prevent healing. For instance, Gengar's Explosion is rather weak, only reliably used as a tool against Blissey. However, it can still be useful against something like Suicune, as it can chunk it for a significant portion of damage and end the turn, preventing it from resting the damage off. This also applies to recoil from Double Edge, and you may see similar tactics from Gyarados or certain variants of Tyranitar, and it also applies to spikes. You will often see top players keeping Pokemon in spikes range alive so they can sacrifice them to spikes on a crucial turn where they deny the opponent the ability to make a move.
Let's give a quick overview of some popular playstyles and the Pokemon commonly seen on them. Earlier, we mentioned Skarmory and Tyranitar pairing their spikes and sand together. Such teams also rack up the passive damage with Toxic, and the combination of Toxic, Sand, and Spikes is abbreviated to TSS. TSS is the most defining team style in the game, and it can take many forms. All you need is Tyranitar, a Spiker, usually Skarm, and a Toxic user, which is not difficult to fit, though technically. Plenty of TSS teams don't really functionally change much if they don't have Toxic. It's just a move you often use without even trying. In addition to these essentials, popular choices are the crucial walls against the tier's most popular attackers. Swampert and Blissey are the most common, but also used are many others like Zapdos, Flygon, Metagross, Celebi, and Jirachi. Faster attacking Pokemon are also used to exert more immediate pressure and clean up against the opponent, weakened from all the passive damage thrown at them. Popular examples include Aerodactyl, Starmie, Salamence, Moltres, Zapdos, and even Dugtrio. Spike's teams in recent years have also sometimes begun dropping Tyranitar, which used to be unthinkable, and greedier teams with the likes of Rapid Spin Claydol and Rest Suicune are popular as well.
On the momentum offensive side of things, offensive momentum is gathered through aggressive switches, systematically breaking down of shared counters and trapping. Physical offense teams do not require Magneton, but breaking through Skarmory is so difficult that sometimes you just need to have to dedicate one of those six precious team slots to the job. Otherwise, riskier high-powered tactics like Banned Metagross, Cursed Self-Destruct Snorlax, and Focus Punch Heracross are used. Boom Spin Claydol is also popular to reset Spike's pressure, while Swampert can alternate from its defensive duties with more aggressive mixed substitute Salacberry Endeavor sets. For cleaning up, Trio of Dragon Dancers is most common. Salamence, Tyranitar, and Gyarados. Some teams even use all three. Agility Metagross is also a strong choice, and for those unafraid of risk, Substitute Swarm Salacberry Source Dance Heracross offers arguably the most dangerous pure sweeper in the tier.
On the special offense side, it's all about overcoming Blissey, as much of the rest of the tier can be overwhelmed through the special attacking power of the Calm Mind users. Of course, overcoming Blissey is difficult. Many tactics are used, the most consistent is a specially defensive bulky Dugtrio, with the move Beat Up. The damage from Beat Up reliably two-hit KOs Blissey and is unaffected by the move Counter. Baton Pass is a great way to get Dugtrio on the field safely against Blissey, especially when used by something like Zapdos. But there are other methods to get your Dugtrio on the field too. Using Explosion in the face of Blissey with Pokemon like Gengar or Regice can guarantee the Dugtrio entry and Blissey elimination. And there are even special attackers that can just threaten Blissey direct. Substitute or Rest variants of Calm Mind Suicune famously threaten most Blisseys, and even Calm Mind Blissey is defeated by Raw Suicune, who can eliminate Blissey's boosts. Calm Mind Celebi can enable teammates to terrifying extents if it baton passes its boosts, thus ridding the teammate the need of going through the struggle of obtaining boosts itself. With its immunity to Sandstorm and Toxic, offensive Jirachi can commonly power its way through non-Thunderwave Blissey after a couple Calm Minds, especially when those Serene Grace special drops come in from Psychic. Some rarer but still threatening special cleaners include Raindance Kingdra and Calm Mind Raikou, and even good old Zapdos is of course a menace if kept healthy for the late game.
There are many, many other team styles in between. Balanced teams not really focus on spikes, but wearing opponents down through a bulky core with Pokemon like Milotic, enabling repeated bashings from a big hitter like Banned Tyranitar, or even tactics like Knock Off Hariyama, while staying healthy themselves through Wish Support, Trap Teams, pairing Magneton and Dugtrio to enable sweepers like Suicune and Snorlax. Offensive teams that don't rely on trapping, often referred to as mixed or spikesless offense, instead just stacking as many major threats as possible, capable of threatening on both sides of the spectrum. Famous for threats like mixed Salamence, and of course, mixing and matching all of the above. The amount of possibility in advance is vast, which is why sometimes you'll see, for example, special offense combined with spikes, with something like Jolteon cleaning up.
There are many skills regularly tested in advance. Metagame familiarity and knowledge are key to figuring out opponents' unrevealed Pokemon, not just to guess them, but to preserve key Pokemon for such threats, even before they appear. You don't want to throw away your Swampert just because you couldn't figure out that the last Pokemon was a Dragon Dance Salamence. Risk versus reward are heavily emphasized, not just offensively, but defensively as well. Even bulky teams will not be able to perfectly counter offensive threats forever. You have to beat your opponent through a combination of prediction, pivoting into resist, and executing your own offensive strategy before the opponent can overwhelm you. For example, even though Suicune is generally a great switch into Salamence, you don't always want to go Suicune against Salamence every time. It's a little bit riskier to switch in Jirachi, for example, but making that call is important.
Foresight is important in general, and no, we don't mean the move that lets you rapid spin against ghosts. You shouldn't be using Hitmontop. We mean foresight in the sense that the later state in the game must always be kept in mind. You could run circles around your opponent for 90% of the game, but your opponent might just let you if they notice you're sacrificing all of your Aerodactyl checks in the process, since they know at a certain point, they'll just clean you up. This applies to other things like not burning through all of Celebi's Leech Seed PP in a longer game. They get especially scary later on, but too many players don't have enough remaining to make use of them. Or the aforementioned example of preserving a Pokemon to be sacrificed to spikes on a key turn. Good team building is emphasized in that attempting to cheat on the biggest threats in the tier is regularly punished. You might think you're taking some sort of awesome, never-before-seen route to success, but there's a reason rock resists are required, because the best players around all have the same idea at one point and been resoundingly punished by a flinch-happy Aerodactyl for their troubles.
Good team building also means innovation. You don't necessarily have to go into a battle with a UU team or anything. But there's a reason why the likes of Moltres, Charizard, Breloom, and Hariyama have become such feared Pokemon in the OU environment. It's because innovative players found ways to incorporate them on teams, such as to maximize their unique talents. It's not just Pokemon, either. Unusual sets on standard Pokemon can be just as much of a shock, if not more. You think you can take any hit from that Salamence with your 60% Claydol, and then you get blasted with an unexpected Hydro Pump.
And thank you so much to our Platinum patrons. Thank you to Amphozenus, Alex Sable, Anthony Belval Renault, Bingleton, Daniel Isbeast, Corman, Eric Dissing, Funky, Glitcherton, Howl, Jack G, King Yabber, Nightfall, Megamon VGC, Mojo Gameslayer, Nurse Jake, Pretzel SP, Soljiro Sakura, Spavoon, Gylaria, Soras and Croxin, Shiwei Miji, Stoneface Colin, Kiboflu, Wardeen, for their major support of our videos.